The following previews are of Graphic Audio Productions, rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Tell me, Kip, if you've done bad things your whole life, but you die doing something good, do you think that makes up for all the bad?
No.
Me neither.
But it's better than nothing. Orcholum is merciful.
Wonder if you'll say that after they're done with your village.
Gavin Guile is the Prism, the most powerful man in the world. He is High Priest and Emperor, a man whose power, wit, and charm are all that preserves a tenuous peace. A peace that is slowly rotting from the inside out.
This is all that's left of what was once a great civilization. Statues of great men, broken by the pygmies who followed. Let me tell you something you already know. Something that all of you have believed, but no one dared to say. The wrong Guile won the Prism's war. They killed him because they were worried he would change everything. They feared him because Dazen Guile wanted to free us. Dazen knew that light cannot be chained.
As darkness slowly encroaches upon the land, Gavin receives a mysterious letter.
I'm dying, Gavin. It's time you meet your son, Kip. Lena.
As Gavin races to find his son, he learns of a new and dangerous threat to his empire. A man who calls himself King.
Your time is finished. Yours and the Chromarians. You're done! Light cannot be chained. Know this, Prism. We will take back what you've stolen. The horrors of your reign are almost at an end. And when it ends, I will be there. This, I swear!
With the death of his empire looming, Gavin will be forced to wage a war on multiple fronts. But little does he know, his assassin may be looking right before his very eyes.
You're a stupid, stupid boy, Kip. But maybe a dull sword can go where a sharp one wouldn't be allowed. Don't you forget this. Don't listen to him, you hear me? He's a liar. You will not fail me in this, Kip. You learn, and then you kill him.
Yes, Mother?
Kip, if you ever loved me, avenge me. Swear it by your worthless soul, Kip.
I swear to avenge you, Mother, by my very soul.
Don't miss the beginning of the end in Brent Week's critically acclaimed new series, The Lightbringer Trilogy. Book 1, The Black Prism, Parts 1 through 3. Available now in Graphic Audio.
Available now in Graphic Audio. Oh, shit. Run! It don't look like our last night of independence is gonna be a peaceful one at all!
Preacher, fate has led you to us, sir. Is there any chance you'd consider accepting my proposition?
What do you mean about coming along with your wagon train to Santa Fe?
Indeed. I've heard it said that you probably know more about the country west of the Mississippi than any man alive.
Wagons home!
Martin, what's wrong, Preacher?
Something's been following us, and I am sick and tired of it. I'm gonna go find out what it is.
Somebody bring a light! I know you all want to know what happened.
So do I. Let's wait for that light. Everybody just step back and give him some room now. Who is it?
His name was Hammond. Ben Hammond. My God, what could have done that to him?
I don't know. Some sort of animal.
Now, I bet you're wondering why I didn't just go ahead and kill you.
You know, I don't waste my time wondering about what loco snakes like you do or don't do.
Oh, I'm tired of having to worry about you people popping up to cause trouble for me. Now that I got y'all here, I'm gonna finish you off once and for all. We got you all lined up here like targets. So that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna have some target practice. We're gonna shoot away little pieces of you and see how long we can keep you alive.
Son of a bitch!
What is it?
Cyclone! A big one!
My God, is it headed toward us?
It appears to be! It's hard to say, though, the way those things skip around.
What can we do?
If you're a praying man, I'd get busy at it. And if you ain't, this just might be a good time to start.
Don't you dare miss the first Mountain Man 17, Preacher's Assault. Available now in Graphic Audio.
And now, our feature presentation. Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Possessed of an unnatural and legendary hunger, the Reapers have come to Earth to establish a new order built on the harvesting of enslaved human souls. They rule the planet. They thrive on the scent of fear. And if it is night, as sure as darkness, they will come.
Graphic Audio presents E.E. Knight's Vampire Earth. Narrated by Ken Jackson. Performed by Tim Getman, Yasmin Toison, Johan Detweiler, Thomas Keegan, Lily Beacon, Anastasia Wilson, Stephen Carpenter, David Coyne, Thomas Simpson, Richard Rowan, Christopher Sheeran, Joseph Thornhill, Tim Carlin, Drew Copas, Paul Fidalgo, Joe Brack, Michael Glenn, Michael John Casey, Kimberly Gilbert, Andy Clements, Scott McCormick, Nanette Savard, Elizabeth Jernigan, Dolores King Williams, Mort Shelby, Sherry Simpson, Thomas Penny, Nathan Bennett, Christopher Graybill, Karen Novak. Vampire Earth, Book 4, Valentine's Rising, Part 2.
There was only one miserable-looking captain still waiting when an aide shook Valentine awake. Valentine had pretended to snooze as he idled while Solon met with each officer. Exhaustion turned his pretense into reality.
The consul will see you now.
Valentine was ushered into Solon's underground office. The teal walls still smelled faintly of fresh paint. There was an oriental panel on the wall, three pictures, each in its own frame, separate works of art but forming a greater work together. The largest figure was a warrior carrying a bow. Valentine looked in the corner of the office, where a recurved bow and a quiver of arrows had been placed. Solon looked up from his paperwork.
Colonel Asen, our ambitious young newcomer. Please sit down.
Thank you, sir.
Valentine sat in the club chair opposite Solon's desk. The consul had shortened the legs on it, giving Solon a height advantage he didn't have when standing.
I saw you admiring my bow.
It's a handsome one, sir. Beautiful wood.
My quiet center. I go away with the bow when I need to think. Or rather, not think, at least consciously. I'll take you out and show you when we're less pressed by duty. Did you get caught up at the presentation?
Yes, sir. It was thorough, I'll give you that. And there's only a little mopping up to do south of the Arkansas. North of it, looks like you've got what's left of the opposition boxed in.
They're more like a treed tiger. Properly prodded, they'll jump down. Unpleasant for whoever happens to be under them, but it'll be the end of the tiger.
It could be dangerous for whoever goes up the tree to do the prodding, too.
You understand your role, then? You wanted your shot at glory. I've granted your wish.
They must be pretty hungry by now. Why not wait?
Evidently, they prepared for years for this eventuality. Food and supplies deep in caves, mines ready in all the critical road junctures, and of course you're aware that our borrowed forces have to return home more or less intact.
I caught that, sir.
So headlong assault wasn't an option. It's our own fault. We didn't pursue promptly enough when they collapsed. It must have been some civil defense plan to have so much put away for civilians, even. You know we've captured livestock up in the hills? I was tempted to take back some rings if my generals allowed them to get away with their chickens and sheep. Hopeless incompetence. But then, what do you expect of forces that have been doing nothing but glorified police work and putting down uprisings for decades? They're gun-shy.
Why not use grogs?
The grogs have their own concerns. The St. Louis ones only go to war for land. I'm not about to give up an inch of the Trans-Mississippi. Quite the contrary. Once we've got things under control here, we'll expand north. The whole Missouri Valley is crawling with them from St. Louis to Omaha. That'll change.
The higher-ups gave them that land in return for...
Don't be stupid, Colonel. That was a deal settled long ago. It wasn't with the Trans-Mississippi Confederation, either. I've spoken to the 23, and they're in agreement. You're seeing only the planting of a seed that will one day flower in the headwaters of the Mississippi, the Tennessee, the Missouri, the Arkansas, yes, even the Ohio. That's why I came west, Lisanne. Elbow room. My days of sweating out strategies to control four more counties in Virginia or a town in Maryland are over.
You're from the east, sir. I've always wanted to see it.
No, you don't. It's chaos.
So you left. How'd you manage that, if you don't mind me asking, sir?
You're a kindred spirit, Lisanne. If you don't like a place, you're rolling it, you get yourself out. I did the same. Did you know that? My father was a senator in the old United States government. He didn't survive 22. I barely remember him. My mother struck up a relationship with a general who'd been useful to the Currians. His lordship held a few towns around the Potomac in northern Virginia. I got my start as a courier. Eventually, I was running everything for miles around Harper's Ferry. The Currians are such children, in a way. If you're useful in getting them their candy, you can train them like Pavlov's dogs. I learned the art of politics. There must be a generational memory in the land, for the whole area around what used to be the District of Columbia is home to the most backbiting, infighting group of Currians you can imagine, all holding court in their little monuments around the mall. A woman named Rudland, I believe she was from New York, organized them into a committee to cut down on the blood feuds. I'd help plead my lordship's cases before the committee, and if that didn't work, bribe a powerful member. Then a deal went wrong, and I had to... let's just say I left in a hurry. Not that it's been any easier out here. The soldiers I was originally going to use to flush out these backwoods killers suffered a setback when their grogs revolted. Grogs are more trouble than they're worth. I've said it enough. You'd think someone would be listening by now. Those fools on the Missouri. It'll be a generation before that particular plan can be brought again to fruition. I'm not the first person to learn that if you want something done right, do it yourself. So I made deals to get the forces I needed. Though I haven't sought a reputation in the cannon's mouth, far from it. I earned my ring with words and ideas, not with bullets. They're more powerful in the long run.
I'm still looking for mine.
I'll tell you something an aging U.S. federal judge once told me. He had it on a plaque. Vision without will fades like a dream. Will without vision grows into a nightmare. The Kerr are rich in will. I've never seen vision to go with it, so I'm supplying my own. As to will, well, you've seen what's being built in New Columbia. It'll be good. I'd like to think you'd stay out of desire to help me build here. But stay you will. Do you understand? Stay you will.
Yes, sir.
You've got an ambitious look about you, Colonel. I saw you at the meeting, looking around, wondering which of your fellow officers you could rise above. You're still a young man, and I'll indulge young men in that. At this rate, you'll be one of my leading generals in a few years. Then you'll have it all. An estate, women, wealth. You're present at the founding of a country. Someday we'll mint coins. Maybe your face will be on one, if you distinguish yourself.
I hope so. Did you have all this in mind when you came west?
New Columbia will be another Washington, another London, another Rome. Only better than Rome. Our temples will have real deities who give real rewards for an appropriate sacrifice. They will be temples of meaning instead of houses of superstition.
As long as we follow orders.
Lysanne, if you've studied the history of China, you know it's been conquered many times, from the Mongols to the British. But in a generation or two, somehow, it was China again. This land is the same way. We'll absorb the Kurians. When this fighting gets done with, we'll rebuild. They'll be powerful figures, certainly, like heads of corporations or governors. The real power was always in a set of oligarchs. They just happen to be Kurian now. But the rewards will go to the integrators, the ones who make it all work. Another constitutional government will rise. We'll have legislatures and courts, taxes and tollways.
They'd let us have all that.
Why not?
Due process and all that might cut down on the flow of aura.
What makes you think I'd want that?
I'm not sure I follow you, sir.
Every society has its share of drones. The uneducable, the lazy, the unproductive, the crippled, the sick. Then there are the criminals. Civilization has always paid some kind of price for their upkeep. With the Kurians in charge, they'll be fed into that furnace in the place of the talented. Only instead of the haphazard and arbitrary methods of today, it will be smoother, determined by courts and elected officials instead of this random slaughter. The robber barons will still take their toll, but it won't be at random anymore. They'll simply be a surgical instrument keeping the body politic healthy. Evolution did that for millennia. Weeded out the unfit, but with our civilization, the weeds were allowed to grow as well as the flowers. It's time to replant the Garden of Eden. But first, we have to separate wheat from chaff. Every generation produces its share of each.
I see.
Do you? That unpleasantness with the baby the other night. Yes, I heard about it. It upset you. If you want to be part of my bright future, you'll have to become used to that. Wheat and chaff, Lysanne. Wheat and chaff.
You're a man of vision, sir. But sometimes the unfit have hidden talents. Wasn't there a brilliant physicist named Hawking who only had use of his mouth? Van Gogh was crazy. Einstein's teachers thought he was retarded.
You're well read for a Bayou woodsman.
I grew up in an old library, sir. Sort of a private collection. Started out with picture books and took off from there.
You haven't been listening, Colonel. I've got the answers, so quit worrying about the questions. You see, we'll have courts, appeals, we'll control the flow. The Kurians won't care how the plumbing works as long as the water keeps flowing. In the end, we'll have the real power.
New Columbia, March of the 48th year of the Kurian Order. The Quislings and the Rats. Perhaps history has been overly kind to Major Vidkun A.L. Quisling. He certainly loved his native Norway, but not so much that he let it get in the way of his ambition for political power through selling his good name and country to the Nazis. In that, at least, he is as dishonorable as his conscienceless namesakes. In the vocabulary of opprobrium against the Kurians, Quisling is considered perhaps the most obscene, for they thrive in the service of humanity's conquerors. For those who spend time in the Kurian zone, it is hard to be as bitter about the lower ranks. Armed service under the Kurians ensures life for the Quisling soldier and his family. It is hard to begrudge parents decent food to feed their children, a warm house, and a few diversions. But some acquire a taste for the luxuries power brings and seek higher rank. They amass property, or gather art, or indulge their physical desires. Some become killers or sadists, exploring the freedom to taste that which is forbidden to others. To the aid of the great ones with the power and money, there are always those willing to acquire their desires, legally or no. In New Columbia, those fulfilling and profiting in that service are the rats. Not quite Quislings, but somewhere above the unfortunates living under the shadow of Kerr. They live on the fringes of the law, their riverboats giving them a freedom of movement and privacy that allows them to engage in lucrative smuggling. They have a strip on the north side of the Arkansas, avoided by all save the river thugs, or those with the money to pay for a night in the dubious haunts of the riverfront. Most of them are clapped together wooden establishments, already redolent of the unsavory activities taking place within. But there are a few substantial, finished buildings, complete with a touch of landscaping or a colorful coat of paint and expensive ironwork. Of all these, the most notorious and expensive is the Blue Dome. As daylight faded, Valentine hitched a ride into town with a pickup full of workmen, ignoring a pair of lieutenants who were waiting for more suitable transport. As the truck shuddered into second gear, one bearded laborer pulled a leather flask from within his shirt and passed it to a buddy. And with a practiced squirt, shot a stream of the concoction within into his mouth before handing it back to the owner. He held it out to Valentine.
What is it?
It's joy juice. Little wine, little homemade brandy, some fruit squeezings. Go on, Colonel, it's good stuff. Ain't blinded us yet.
Valentine shot some of the mixture into his throat, but didn't have the knack for stopping the stream yet. It splashed across his dress uniform shirt. He gulped it down. He'd had worse. By the time the truck passed the markers at the bottom of the estate hill, they'd all had a round.
How do you like working on the residence?
Good work. Ration book and cash besides. No way I'm going back across the Mississippi. It'll be good work for years. I can do electricity, plumbing, carpentry.
But you don't live on the site.
Nah, town's more fun. We all got a real house, even a couple of Tex-Mex women in residence for the chores and such. It's a sweet setup, Colonel. There's a diner in town, bars. They're talking about getting a movie house going.
I'm due at a party tonight. What's good to eat at the Blue Dome?
Shit, Colonel, what do you take me for? Only time I seen the inside of that place was getting the toilets running. Most of us do odd jobs at night, and old Dom, he pays well. But if I tried to walk in as a customer...
Exclusive?
Strictly for you officer types and rat boat captains. What passes for society in these parts? But don't you worry, they'll treat you right and the food will stay down.
Valentine thought regretfully of the cigar box full of Solon script back at his tent. He hadn't expected the day to end with dinner and drinks, so he'd left that morning with only a dollar or two tip money in his identification pouch. The truck dropped him off next to a pyramid of rubble with a watch post atop it.
Follow the street down to the river, Colonel. You'll see the rag bag, a clothing swap warehouse that'll still be open. Just to the right is the Blue Dome. No windows and only one entrance. It's got a neon sign with an arrow. Can't miss it.
Thanks for the drink. Here's $2 in script for the drink.
No, that's okay. It comes with a ride. Watch your money at the card table, and when you draw a flush, think of me.
The pickup bucked into gear, and Valentine waved goodbye. He walked to the new riverfront of the north side of the Arkansas, at the edge of a little slope above the river proper, and thus safe from flooding. There were tent bars, street vendors with food in carts, and everywhere men in deck shoes and woolen coats and sweaters, wearing knit caps or baseball-style ones with ship names sewn into the crown. A trio of muscular rivermen drinking behind a bar glanced at him, but shifted their eyes apologetically when they took in the uniform. Valentine peered into the ragbag's single window. The rest were still boarded up. Long tables and racks of recovered clothing were piled everywhere, and there was a cobbler in the corner tearing apart old shoes to recover the soles. He looked up the lively street and saw a neon sign advertising the Blue Dome hanging out over the sidewalk. The Blue Dome was a squatty block of masonry, better fitted together than most of the antheaps on the south side of the shallow Arkansas bisecting New Columbia, and painted to boot. There were no windows on the first story, and only shuttered tiny slits on the second. Atop the building, Valentine could see the awning of something he guessed to be a penthouse. Someone had gone to the trouble to hang basketed plants. From the alley between the rag bag and the Blue Dome, he heard the ventilation fans and picked up the charred smell of meat on the grill. Valentine realized he was hungry. Oddly enough, the Blue Dome's entrance was in the alley rather than on the main street. The aged stairs were pre-2022. He descended them to a new wooden door, which opened even before he knocked.
Excuse me, sir. Come right in.
The burly doorman moved aside. Valentine stepped inside and halted, awestruck. He felt as though he'd opened a worm-eaten wooden box, only to find a Fabergé egg enclosed. Stuccoed walls opened up on an elegant room. Ensconced lighting behind delicate glass seashells drew his eyes upward to the glow of the dome. It stretched above a parquet wooden dance floor and stage to the right of the entrance. The concave surface was painted with some kind of luminescent blue material, which glowed in the reflected light of what Valentine guessed to be hundreds of small, low-wattage bulbs, giving the effect of a cloudless sky at twilight. Opposite him stood a massive wooden bar with polished silver fittings, a solid wall of liquor bottles behind it, and a bartender in a crisp white shirt and black tie standing ready. Between the bar and the stage, an elevated corner platform held a seated knot of musicians playing jazz. The undomed part of the room stretched off to Valentine's left. Uniformed members of the TMCC sat around linen-topped tables. They stood on staggered, burgundy-carpeted levels under the subdued blue light from what looked to be 50 miles of fiber-optic cable, artfully wound into the ceiling and structural pillars. Around the edges of the room, velvet-curtained alcoves were more brightly lit. Valentine could just make out green-topped gaming tables behind heavy burgundy curtains.
Quite a basement.
A man wearing the first true tuxedo Valentine had ever seen glided over to him. He had the coconut brown features of the subcontinent and teeth as brilliantly white as his eyes.
Welcome, Colonel. I've been told of you and the service you did in the floods. Your first time here, yes?
Yes, it is.
It was just a murky basement when I came here a year ago.
You got in early.
I'm an acquaintance of the good consul's from back east. He's building a land of opportunity. When I heard his operations were a success, I was on the next train out of Baltimore. My name is Dom, and I'm pleased to meet you, Colonel. You are hungry, yes?
Yes. You must have been building this place while they were still fighting.
It is a principle of commerce as well as combat to get in first with the most. I'd like to think I've managed that. Your fellow officers wouldn't think of going anywhere else for an evening out or a celebration.
I can see why.
Dom bowed, then turned to a screened-off corner to Valentine's right.
Arcee, show Colonel Lassan to General Ham's table, would you? You're in luck, Colonel. You've got the best view of the floor from the whole restaurant. Enjoy your meal. If you wish to visit the gaming tables, they'll close for an hour at 9 for the show, then they'll reopen.
A tall woman, all chestnut hair and silken skin in a cocktail dress that complemented the decor, appeared at Dom's side. She was just an inch below Valentine's 6'2". Valentine saw a little tattoo of a fairy with heavy black eyeliner and lipstick winking out at him from her upper breast.
Dom, I haven't...
None of that, Colonel. Everything but your table stakes and bar charges tonight are courtesy of Consul Solon. Your liquor is being picked up by General Ham. Convenient, yes? That just leaves gambling money, and your name is good here. Just show your identification to the cashier, last alcove on the left. You see, it's as if we're welcoming you to the combat corps tonight. I understand your battalion was formally recognized this morning. Congratulations, Colonel. Glory on your name, beauty on your arm, and a ring on your finger, as they say. Speaking of beauty, Colonel Lassan, I'd like you to meet Arcee, who'll be your escort this evening.
Nice to meet you, Arcee.
Congratulations, Colonel.
The woman escorted Valentine across the dance floor to a long table set so it had a central view of the stage. A few other officers and men, some escorted by Blue Dome girls, sat and stood around the finger food on trays there. General Ham sat at the end of the table with his boots up, stretching his stork-like legs. A well-proportioned blonde was draped around his shoulders like a stole.
You mind me asking, there's got to be a story behind your name.
R.C. Initials. R.C.
Which is short for?
Oh, I don't know. They said when I was a baby, I was found in an old Royal Crown Cola truck. You can say R.C. if you like, Colonel.
Call me Knox, please.
Thank you, Knox. Oh, you've got a stain on your shirt. Let me get some soda water.
Colonel Lassanne, welcome. Old Ecstasy said you'd be coming. Welcome to the fun side of the hard-ass third.
Ham introduced Valentine to a uniformed blur of colonels and majors. Some he'd met that morning, and others were new faces. There was a civilian in the mix, a sleepy-eyed man in an open-necked white shirt and black trousers. Ham introduced him as Captain Mantilla.
Mantilla's a good man to know, Colonel. He's good at showing up where he's needed with what's needed. French wine, Italian clothing, Cuban tobacco, Mexican cabinetry, Belgian chocolate. He gets it all through connections down in New Orleans.
I supply the liquor for the Blue Dome. Unless you're well connected down in New Orleans, you'd have to go to Chicago or L.A. to get a decent single malt or cognac. We've got it right on the other side of that bar.
R.C. showed up with the soda water. She did what she could, using a table napkin Valentine wished he could use for bed linen, but the joy juice resisted her efforts.
Just stand close to me when we dance.
Of course.
You're from around Natchez?
I've done time in New Orleans, too.
Don't much care for you bayou types. They don't stick in a fight. Not like Texans or Sooners. But I'm prepared to wait and see, seeing as you've got some Indian in you.
Arcee's got a shot at getting some Indian in her tonight.
More food and drink arrived. Mm-hmm. And Valentine tore into pieces of steak served on thin iron spears, interspersed with vegetables on a bed of rice. Dom visited the table to see that the party was progressing and noticed Valentine's enthusiasm for the cuisine.
The rice is native to your trans-Mississippi. The vegetables come in from Mississippi, since my usual sources in Texas are pricing themselves out of my reach at the moment. A tragedy, yes? The filet is from a friend's estate in Iowa. He feeds his cattle on a mash of corn and beer, swears by it.
It is tender.
You'll need something to wash that down with, Colonel. You still haven't been initiated by the Division Cup.
By Kerr Reeves, you're right. The Division Cup. I brought it all the way here and forgot. Dom, brim it with Hero's Brandy, would you?
Of course, General, but the show...
Hold the show, damn you.
Of course, yes, General.
The Blue Dome's owner returned with a silver, two-handled loving cup. He presented it to the General, who took a sip, then passed it over to Valentine. Valentine looked at the cup, holding what looked to be a quart or so of liquor. The divisional insignia, a sneering, snorting donkey face with kicking ass emblazoned beneath, was etched into the side.
It's not all brandy. There's sweet water mixed in, and a tab of horny to make sure you're up for the evening.
You dosed it with horny. I think I'm insulted, sir.
Not just his fellow divisional officers, but also others looked at Valentine expectantly. There was nothing to do but attempt it. New order aphrodisiacs or no. He lifted the cup to his lips and drank. And drank. And drank. He felt it running out the sides of his mouth and joining the stains on his uniform shirt and tunic. The men began to pound on the table.
Outstanding, Lassanne. Well done.
Well done, Knox. Knox?
Yes?
If you need to hit the head or whatever, it's...
No, I'm fine. Warm in here, isn't it?
If you need to cool off, I've got good air on in my house.
Two pairs of female dancers each stepped out from either side of the stage. They wore what Valentine guessed were once called biking shorts and sports bras. They started a hip-hop dance number to pre-2022 techno that seemed designed to make Valentine's head throb. Valentine lapsed into silence and watched the girls through their routine. R.C. gave the inside of his leg an exploratory squeeze.
after a too long absence is someone I'm sure you'll all remember well. She needs no introduction, so let me just say, Miss Tammy Bright.
A woman marched out onto the stage, smiling and confident, basking in the cheers, applause, and wolf whistles from everyone but David Valentine. He'd even forgotten the witch's brew bubbling in his stomach in the shock of recognition. Alessa Duvalier wore a stripper's version of the TMCC uniform. A peaked hat was perched on her glorious red hair, tipped so far over it must have been held on with hairpins. Thick layers of stage makeup covered her freckles. She wore a choker with some kind of metal on it, and a sleeveless fatigue shirt cut away to reveal her midriff, held closed by two buttons struggling against her upthrust bosom. A uniform skirt, which ended about where her thighs began, was cut up each side to the web belt. Her stocking-clad legs and patent leather shoes made the most of her toned limbs. She carried two sheets of flimsies in her hands, which she pretended to read from. She looked across the faces in the audience, found General Ham's eyes, and winked at him theatrically.
My sweetheart slung his rifle and marched away from me, for duty sounds beyond my door, a call to destiny. I waited through these lonely days until his letter came. I saw the words, my darling will soon be one again.
Duvalier marched across the dance floor, stepping high with her legs, swinging her arms in a parody of a dress parade, touching and bouncing from man to man at the edge of the dance floor like a pool ball ricocheting across a billiard table. She ran her fingers up the arm of one, pressed her barely covered derriere against another, brushed a third's hair with her breasts. Valentine felt the blue dome grow even warmer, brandy and lust heating his blood.
My sweetheart slung his rifle and marched away from me, for duty sounds beyond my door, a call to destiny. I waited through these lonely days until his letter came. I saw the words, my darling will soon be one again.
The other dancers came out on the stage for the chorus, costumed in variants of Duvalier's getup. As they danced, she pretended to wipe the sweat from an officer's brow with the fake letter crumpled in her hand. She lingered at Valentine's table, tousling the hair of each man as she continued the song, then moving on to Valentine. She wrapped her arms around him and nipped him on the ear as she thrust her hands into his tunic, unbuttoned by RC in her efforts to clean his shirt. Valentine noticed when her arms came back out that she only had one sheet of paper in her hand. She kicked up a leg and planted a foot on the table, and all eyes went to her as Valentine buttoned his tunic over the note. She finished the last chorus of the song at General Ham's side, singing it to him.
My sweetheart slung his rifle and marched away from me, for duty sounds beyond my door, a call to destiny. I waited through these lonely days until this letter came. I saw the words, my darling, I saw the words, my darling, I saw the words, my darling, will soon be one again.
The general stood and gave her a kiss. Valentine winced, feeling like a man who's just come across his sister in a brothel. Jealousy and disgust, infinitely fouler and more upsetting than the brandy and sweet water, swirled and bubbled within him.
Good evening, Captain Mantilla. Who's the new face?
Colonel Knox Lassan.
You don't like oldies, Colonel?
A bump and grind on top of my dinner puts me off my feed, Fun Bunny.
Colonel? I won't have you talking about Tanny like that.
I'll give him Fun Bunny with this fork.
The colonel just finished off the brandy in the 3rd Division cup and a tab of Horny. Cut him some slack, Ty.
Valentine's former mentor sat back down on Ham's lap. She didn't flinch as Ham rested his hand across her shoulder, fingertips touching her breast. Valentine looked away and back at the stage, nauseated.
Ooh, you're in for a messy night.
You never know.
I am feeling a little...
I'll get you some air.
Oh, no, I'm all right. Or maybe not.
Valentine hurried for the exit. The furniture and decor were an unearthly primary swirl around him. He staggered past the doorman and up the stairs. When the paroxysm passed, he found he was resting against a dumpster, sweating like a pig and feeling like a small rubber duck floating in a very big lake. He looked around and reached into his tunic to retrieve the handwritten note. By the blue light of the neon sign, he read Allie's block capital scrawl.
Must see you. Am good. Will be here one more day, then to AFB. Love the lack of hair. Meow. T.
It was pure Allie. Short, to the point, and equivocal in case it ended up in someone else's hands. Much of his education and operating in the Kurian Zone had been from her. Though she was just under his age, she had twice his experience as a hunter. While he wondered if she really was good, he was certain the AM referred to AM. AFB probably meant the old Air Force base to the north as her destination. Ham had his headquarters there for the refit. Valentine had been told his battalion was to move north and join him in another week or so. X-Ray Tango had promised him more time on the range to practice with the new rifles. For Valentine, it could not come soon enough. He wanted out of the Kurian Zone. Southern Command needed the Quickwood.
Feeling better, Knox?
Valentine dropped the note into the dumpster, startling a rat sniffing at the vomitus within. He turned to RC, who was holding a hurricane glass full of bubbling water.
I brought you some more soda. It's good for more than just stains.
You always this nice?
Inside there? Yes.
Valentine accepted the glass and took a mouthful. He spat it into the alley. Then drank the rest and handed it back to her.
Better.
Is the air helping?
Yes. Sorry I'm not conversational. I need sleep.
My room's just around the corner. We could go up the back stairs.
Nice of you, but I just need to sleep.
Fine with me, Colonel. If I'm with you, I don't have to make nice in there.
Lead on.
RC took Valentine down the alley and around the corner to the back of the Blue Dome. They went up a wooden stairway, the timbers of which were bolted onto the building like an afterthought. She walked him down a long common balcony. A female voice drifted through one of the windows as RC turned a knob on a windowless door.
Yes! Oh, man! Oh, baby! Oh, my! Yes! Do it!
I prefer yes, do it! Oh, my! Oh, baby! Yes!
She gets good marks for volume.
You wouldn't say that if you lived next to her.
It wasn't so much a room as it was a long closet. There was a double bed, with a single mounted above in such a way that it formed a half canopy, a table, two closets.
And a John for the Johns. There's even a shower. If we want a bath, there's a tub down the hall.
You share the room?
A dancer. Her name's Melanie. If the deadbolt's closed, she knows not to come in. There's a mattress in their dressing room, so she can sleep there tonight.
Valentine collapsed on the double bed, dropping his gun beside him and focusing on the ticking pattern on the mattress. RC removed her shoes and sat down next to him.
Ooh. Bed spins?
No, just really, really tired.
RC picked up his gun.
Why's your gun off safety?
Old habit. When I sleep in a strange place.
It's tricky with a .45. Don't worry, you're safe. The scuzzies might hit the boats or the warehouses across the river. Never here.
I see. You know your guns.
Basic training starts at 11 for girls in Dallas. The boys start at 8.
Louisiana starts at 15.
You don't talk like swamp trash.
I grew up in New Orleans. Why'd you leave Big D?
You really want to talk? After a tab of horny?
You're beautiful, RC, but I'm about to leave New Columbia. I'm still a little curious about you. You're authentically nice.
Authentically nice? I'll take it.
What's Dallas like?
I was on my back at 12. You invest the capital you're given. I was pretty slender, and the guys with a taste for younger stuff dug me until I was over 18. My face and hair didn't hurt, but once I passed 20 and had a kid, well, I wasn't worth much to my boss. Dom and Garrett, the doorman, were hunting up girls on the cheap. Dom bought me out for next to nothing and taught me to talk better and do my eyes right while he was building the joint.
Where's your...
Son, they told me. New Universal Church Youth Center. Never even got a good look at him.
Fresh start, huh?
Yes. Wasn't a real change, just on the outside. I'm still doing soldiers. Still wondering if the penicillin they're giving me is the good stuff or not. I just wear a nicer dress is all. Appearances can be deceiving.
Yes.
You ever wanted to change who you are?
Constantly.
For all Valentine knew, R.C. might have been saying something else, but he sank into an exhausted slumber. Valentine woke, the sheets wet against his back and a rancid taste in his mouth.
What's going on?
I don't hear anything.
Valentine felt a reaper somewhere below. Its presence pulsed with cold energy.
It's 2 a.m. They're just closing up downstairs. Sometimes they have to drag people out.
They took someone out.
Valentine could picture the scene downstairs. The Reaper arriving, possibly with a human goon or two, and shaking someone awake. The horrible realization that they probably had less than an hour to live as they looked under the hood at the pale, emotionless face. Handcuffs, a waiting vehicle, the meat wagons, they used to call them in New Orleans. Then the final struggle against its embrace, the last dance.
God, your heart is pounding. That always happen when you wake up?
I startle easy.
Do you always get a gun when you're startled?
A gun?
Valentine's hand had moved to his gun belt hung on the corner of the bed when he woke, but her attention was fixed on flesh, not steel. R.C. turned up the corner of her mouth as her hand explored him, tugged at his pubes, tested his shaft, cupped his testicles.
That's what I've always called them. Men take a lot of pride in them. Wave them around. They can be dangerous if mishandled. They shoot. Hell, you got a real rifle, Knox. Big game.
R.C. rose and slipped a robe on her slight shoulders.
Ugh, Melanie. Probably wants the room back. Don't worry. You don't have to leave until you feel like it.
I should be off anyway.
Mal, give me a break, would you?
As R.C. opened the door, Duvalier stood there, her hair tucked in some kind of bag and a mask of creamy mud on her face.
Ty, hi. I've got company.
I know, R.C. Can I talk to him? In private, I need him to do something so I can surprise the number one on his birthday.
Yeah, I guess.
Just 5 minutes, sweetie.
R.C. looked at Valentine, hurriedly pulling up his trousers.
Knox, you remember Ty?
The singer from last night. Checker for forks. I'm sorry. I was a little drunk last night, Miss, Bright. I didn't even know the general's birthday was coming.
Thanks, sweetie. Shh, okay? Secret mission.
My lips are sealed.
R.C. grabbed a basket of towels and soap and moved into the hall. Duvalier closed the door and shot the lock.
Tanny Bright?
I told him my real name is Ronnie McDonald's, which he thought was even funnier. You missed my second number. Was she worth it?
I didn't know you could sing.
Since this shit started, I've sung in 3 different clubs. I'll let you in on a trade secret. The less she wears, the worse her voice can be. You look a bit green this morning.
The hero's brandy wasn't agreeing with me. I didn't even try to keep it down. My stomach generally knows best. Are we going to talk about anything important?
God, yes. I'm still active under Mantilla. Are you in his contact group, too?
I understand you're active under Ham.
Don't go there, Valentine. I thought you wanted to talk shop.
You're right, sorry. Whatever you're doing is for the cause. No, I'm not active. I was delayed getting back from Texas. I didn't return until just before Christmas. It's been nothing but disaster ever since.
I just found out about you being here when I hit town. Southern Command got the report you sent with Finner. The overrun was already in full swing when I came up from New Orleans. I got the women and kids from your crew out, It's a story I don't have time for. They're safe down at Steiner Station.
Steiner? Hal Steiner? Lots of rice paddies and a little fortified town.
That's the last place I was before this assignment. Steiner's place, it's grown. He's trying to feed and hide thousands of refugees in those swamps, plus a chunk of what's left of Southern Command. Got it all phonied up to look like a little Korean province. It won't last forever.
I know. I've got the newest battalion in Ham's division.
You say it like it's your fault. It's not. Being mistress to not one, but two, count them, two generals and an oily restaurateur, one in my plans when I got tasked with infiltration. Mantilla's one of us, too. Not a cat, but he reports directly to the Life Weavers. I haven't had the chance to tell him about you.
You said you have orders from Southern Command?
From the Life Weavers. They're in hiding, naturally. No sign of Ryu, but your old man Amu's been passing stuff back and forth to me through some wolves and Mantilla.
Anything for me?
Yes, I got orders. They want you to raise a ruckus behind the lines once the offensive gets underway. Theirs or ours, whichever comes first. Cut the north-south line through Little Rock so they can't shift their forces south quickly. Tie down as many of them as you can for as long as you can.
If they can hold out for a few more months, it'll be a different story. Consul Solon's about to send more of his army back to where they borrowed it. Texas, mostly.
I've thought they seemed in a big hurry. This is just a guess, but I think something's in the works, Val. Southern Command's going to strike back somewhere unexpected. At least, I hope so. If you can gum things up here...
I'll see what I can do. What's my line of retreat? Back west to the Washitas?
I got nothing for you about that. They said just cause as much trouble as you can for as long as you can.
With no orders where and when to run.
Sorry, Valentine. Right place, right time. You're a pawn in a good spot to tie down the king and queen until they maneuver to take you.
Who's my superior?
I've no idea. I don't think Southern Command knows much more than that you're in here with some men. They're leaving it up to you.
Well, there's more. I brought back something, something that kills Reapers. I put that in the report that went out with Finner.
If you've got something that kills Reapers, start using it. Mantilla might be able to get some to the rest of the Southern Command.
It's just wood. It's some kind of catalyst, acts on the thickening agent in their blood. They seize up and die.
Wood isn't much help against artillery and armored cars. Speaking of Reapers, that's the second thing I gotta tell you. They arrested a captain on Ham's staff. I've been stealing papers, and I planted some on him to string this out a little more. I think Ham's getting set to get rid of me. He used to bring his briefcase and what have you when we were together. No more. Kerr knows there's a spy in his division. He's taking precautions.
Good. I'm the new guy. They'll look at me.
I doubt it. It's gone on since Ham's predecessor, and they know it. I took him out, by the way. It was business and pleasure. He tried to pass me around like a party favor.
That house fire. I heard the sad story. Sounded like your handiwork, Smoke.
That's better than fun, Bunny. You know I wouldn't do the pillow recon if it wasn't for all this shit. The next incendiary device is going down Ham's pants. Then I am blowing town.
I'll try to light a fire of my own.
Be careful.
Sounds like the orders are to be destructive. That doesn't always go along with being careful.
Well...
Ellie, there's something you could do for me. Sort of a last request.
Still hornied up? I thought that tall drink of water took care of you. Dream on.
Get me whatever you can on X-Ray Tango. He used to serve on the plains. He might even be semi-friendly.
That'll be tricky. I don't even know who's got the intelligence archives.
Anything you can get me would help.
I'll see if I can get a message out. Maybe some wolf can find you with the answer. How important is this?
It's important to me. He's got some strange qualities. It makes me think a parent of his might have been a hunter. Sometimes things get passed down.
I'll do what I can.
That's always more than enough.
Thanks, Ghost.
Keep it safe, Smoke.
I've missed working with you, Val. You're one of the good ones.
Without further explanation, Alessa left. Valentine picked up his clothes and looked around RC's shared room. There was a tiny stuffed bear sitting on a shelf in the closet above where the silk cocktail dress hung. He wondered about the little girl it had once belonged to. Valentine realized he was strangely buoyant as he descended the stairs. There was sunshine above New Columbia, though the clouds were building as they crept in from the west. But something more than the sun cheered him. Perhaps it was just the knowledge that Allie was alive and well, and around to help. He made his way through the alley, past the rat-infested dumpster, and out into the spring sunshine. General Ham, Reeves, and a few of his other officers were enjoying a cafe breakfast outdoors.
Coffee's hot, Lassan. Join us.
Thank you. Just one cup, though. I've got to get across the river, General. The battalion's probably wondering what happened to me.
They'll survive a few more hours. We had some funny business in the night, Lassan. One of my officers was taken away, and I don't like that. Williams, you remember him?
I met him last night, but he wasn't on the trip out to the consul's residence.
No, he wasn't. Apparently, he went rooting through my papers while I was away.
He had access to them?
He was my chief of staff's assistant.
Well, who came?
The usual. By the time they woke me, he was gone, or I'd have asked some questions. I can't figure out why someone with access to my office would steal everyday correspondence. Something from the safe, yes, that'd be valuable to those crackers. But why steal letters about the state of the transport system in northern Arkansas, the upper Trans-Mississippi? We're supposed to stop with the old state designations, by the way, Lassan. Solon's orders.
Because he wasn't a spy, someone wanted him to look like one?
It's looking like there's a spy in my headquarters, Knox. We got royally raped last October, and I think it's because someone knew the hour and date we were pulling out of the line in Sidling.
Well, ask Solon for different orders for the offensive, or to move up the date. Keep him to yourself until the last minute is my suggestion, sir. That, or get a bigger safe.
I'm wondering if I need a new chief of staff. I get the feeling you can organize and think for yourself. I need to replace Williams. You want the job? Staff work's a lot nicer than line duty.
Sir, your offer is tempting, but I have to stay with my men. At least until this is all over. I want to see them blooded.
Thought you were looking for promotion. Responsibility. That'd come with a staff position. They make general more often than not.
Oh, I am, sir, but responsibility's like water. It flows better from the top down.
Responsibility's like water. Flows better from the top down. Hey, I like that. Mind if I use it in my next speech to the division?
I'd be honored, sir. But I need to get back across the river. Oh, speaking of the river, where can I find Captain Mantilla? I'd like to put in an order.
His tug's tied up at the wharf right now. It's Battleship Gray with big blue letters on it. OGL. You need something, son?
Bourbon and tobacco. But not for me, for my officers.
I like your style, Lassan. I'm glad you're in my division.
The barge was even uglier than the old Thunderbolt. It looked like a couple of aluminum mobile homes piled on a raft and needed a lot of rust stripping before another coat of gray. Sure enough, gigantic letters stood out on the side just below the carbon-coated stack. OGL. As Valentine ventured up the gangplank, he saw that the anchor watch was asleep. A fleshy man, bald as Valentine and bronze-skinned by birth and sun, slept in the sun at the end of the gangway. An iodine-colored bottle rested between his legs.
Excuse me, boatman? Sir. Closing time, last call!
Double me up again, good buddy.
Did I guess the password?
Oh, sorry there, sir. I was resting my eyes. Didn't see you come up.
They're still pretty red, friend. 8 more hours ought to do it. Can I find Captain Mantilla on board?
Engine room, I expect. He's usually there when we're not hauling.
Come on, Panocci! Loosen up, you bitch!
Follow the blue streak.
Oh, Kerva! What's the matter with you this morning, you old putain?
Hey, Cap, this old boy's come aboard asking for you. Wearing a TMCC piss cutter and a turkey on his collar.
Meld. Just a moment, Chief.
Mantilla's face appeared in the sun, smeared with grease like Comanche war paint. He furrowed his brows.
Morning, Colonel. Saw you last night, but damned if I can remember your name.
Lassan, mon frère. I want to talk about getting a little extra cargo up here the next time you come up the Arkansas.
Thanks, Jim Bob. I'll take it from here. What can I get you, Colonel?
I'm an old friend of Miss Bright's. Done a few favors for her, and I need something similar. She sent me.
You stick your head in the noose first, Lesan.
When you talk to her far away friends, you probably refer to her as Smoke. You speak to the same people. Call me Ghost.
Pleased to meet you. How can I help?
I need something brought to Southern Command.
Fair enough. I have to tell you plain, sir, that's getting trickier by the month. I can't guarantee anything. What is it? People? Papers? Photos?
Some wood. Just a few dozen 4x4 beams.
You're shitting me.
It's not really the wood. It's what's in the wood.
Gold? Platinum?
If you don't know, you can't tell anyone. I just want to know if you can get them to the Boston Mountains. Oh.
Boston Mountains. You're misinformed. That's just a screen. The Ozark High Command's hiding out in the bayous in the southwest. Big Hal Steiner's got them hidden.
Really?
Easier to feed them from the swamps and rivers. He's got rice up the wazoo, too. The part of your army that's holding out up north is mostways teams of your bears and wolves wearing guard uniforms. The invaders got so busy blocking up the mountains, they didn't catch the evacuation south.
I've been there. You could hide an army there.
They won't be hiding there much longer.
When?
Soon. Within weeks.
You a cat or what?
Look, Colonel, let me have my secrets too. We're on the same team. Isn't that enough?
When you're on a team, it's nice to know if you're talking to a quarterback or the towel guy.
I'm more like the towel guy, Colonel. I'm due downriver yesterday. Can you get me your beams in double time?
How's tonight?
Oh, tonight's excellent.
How you want to work it?
There's lots of shallows on the south bank, just downstream of the pilings from the first bridge. I'll ground her. I'll splash ashore, and your men will rock me off using the wood as levers. That okay with you? Don't want to break open the quickwood and have a bunch of gold fall out.
But quickwood? How the hell do you know it's called quickwood?
From you.
How's that?
Call it intuition. Specific intuition.
I thought only the life weavers did tricks like that.
Life weavers and us towel boys.
Can you get me some bourbon and cigars? I told Ham I was here to see you about that.
Popular items. I keep them in stock. I'll drop them off tomorrow.
Until tonight, then, Captain.
Until tonight.
The delivery of much of Valentine's quickwood had gone off without a hitch. Mantilla's tug showed up where and when arranged. He told Mantilla to ask Southern Command to strike as soon as possible, explaining what he had in mind. Time was critical, and they had to move while Consul Solon was still arranging his formations for the closeout moves in his bid to pacify the Ozarks.
I can put the word in the Lifeweaver's ear, but whether Southern Command will listen...
But one more thing, please.
How can I refuse anything to the cat who would dare challenge such a lion in his own den? What is it, mon frère?
I won't ask, but if you have contacts further downriver, especially near Pine Bluff, tell them to be ready to hit hard when I move. Civilian and militia uprising.
Such an order can only be given by Southern Command's General Staff.
Then Southern Command's General Staff can take it up with me.
If you live. It is a forlorn hope, my friend.
You know my orders. You pass them on to Smoke. Raise a ruckus. The more widespread it is, the better.
You are exceeding your orders, I think.
I think so, too. It's still the right thing to do.
Good luck, Colonel. Be sure you hit the tower. Go down, not up. The rat's in the cellar. Here's a little gift from the Redhead. You'll need it soon, I think.
Mantilla gave Valentine a bag with 2 bottles of bourbon. It had a false bottom. When Valentine found the hidden zipper, he came up with his pair of cat fighting claws and a little box with 5 flashbangs inside. They were about the size of yo-yos and each had a lacquered picture from a matchbook on it. Valentine recognized the matchbooks. They were bars and restaurants he and Duvalier had dined in while posing as husband and wife in New Orleans. A note from Duvalier rolled up in the box read,
"Gee, the good captain kept these for me. For you. Luck. S."